Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Our favorite Killer Bee from ESPN who covers the NFL is Bill Barnwell, and he's joining us now on the HRMP guest line. Bill, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to hang out with us this afternoon. Training camp opening up today for the Houston Texans. I know you've had your eye on a couple of Houston Texans, maybe one quarterback in particular. But first, I want to ask you just your 20,000-foot view of where the Houston Texans are, second year under Nick Caserio, first year under Lovie Smith.
It still feels like, you know, they're kind of stuck in purgatory, you know. Obviously, the Deshaun Watson trade did happen before the draft, thankfully, and so they were able to finally start making those additions. But, you know, I look at this roster, and there's some interesting players to look at here. There's some players who I think, you know, can develop into something, but there's still so many veterans on short-term deals playing meaningful roles on this roster. So to me, I think, you know, for a team that really didn't do a lot last year, in part because they didn't have many draft picks in terms of, you know, supplementing their roster with core young players, it still feels like they're a year or two away from sort of figuring out, okay, this is what the next playoff Texans team is going to be, as opposed to a team that's just trying to get by with short-term deals for a lot of players.
Bill, now that you mentioned that Deshaun has been traded, now that they've kind of gotten that black cloud that's been hovering over the franchise out of the skies around NRG Stadium, we knew there was a national perception with a little chuckle built in every time you heard the words Houston Texans. Do you think that's changing now? Do you think that with a good draft, with a solid veteran head coach, with the things that Caserio has done to believe that he knows what he's doing, do you think that narrative is starting to turn a little bit when people hear those two words?
I don't know. I mean, I think it depends on what happens this season. I mean, certainly with David Culley last year, you know, it very much felt like he was a temporary coach. We saw what happened. After his first year, he got fired. Of course, the Watson trade just changed things. Of course, you know, they're in a different situation now. But I think the question is, where do they look like at the end of this year? I mean, is Lovie Smith the guy for the next 3 or 4 years? If he is, then hey, that stability, that's great. But I think, you know, there's a decent chance they fire Lovie Smith after this year, and maybe they go after Josh McCown, who has no literal coaching experience at any level or meaningful coaching experience at any level. If that happens, I think there's still going to be people saying, well, why are they doing this? What's going on? So to me, I think, you know, they've taken steps in the right direction, but I think so much rides on this season in terms of sort of gauging where they are in this sort of long rebuild process.
It's Bill Barnwell joining us on the HRMP guest line. And this is, I'm curious your opinion of this, because we've kicked this around quite a bit with Nick Caserio at the helm of the Houston Texans in regards to his head coaching position. He hired David Culley, an oddball hire that no one ever really considers a head coach candidate. No one interviewed him for a head coach position, and all of a sudden he's the head coach of the Houston Texans. You mentioned Josh McCown in the interview process, some other names in the interview process that were very curious. Some were legitimate. And then you end up with Lovie Smith, who was never even interviewed. All of a sudden, on this Sunday evening, he becomes the leading candidate to be the head coach, and you announce him the next day. I'm not sure that Nick Caserio really values the head coaching position in the NFL like we see league-wide.
I think that's a fair point. And, I mean, you know, I think the question is, do they have access to better candidates? I think certainly last year, given the Watson situation, given the the spot the organization was in, it wasn't a desirable job. There wasn't that sort of security. There wasn't, you know, the top-tier candidates were not interested. And, you know, I can't say what happened this year. I don't think they were turned down by dozens of people. It was better because they figured Watson trade was coming when they were negotiating, or they were at least hoping, or they thought it was more plausible that a Watson trade could happen. But, I mean, it tells you, you know, the top candidates are not really interested right now in coming to Houston. That's not because Houston's not a great city, because it is. Not because the fans aren't great, because they are. But it's the roster. It was at the time the draft capital, which is now much better. And it's the temporary issue of that role. You know, again, I think nobody would be shocked if Lovie Smith was one and done, given his track record, given his history, his recent history, after his time with the Chicago Bears as a head coach, where he was very solid. You know, I feel like we hear more candidates come up for the Texans who are not mentioned in any other coaching search than any other team. And I think you would like to say they're thinking out of the box and they're creative, and maybe they're going to spin it that way, and maybe they are in the long run going to hire a great coach who nobody else has thought about hiring, like a Hines Ward or a Josh McCown. But that coach is not there right now. And until we actually see that coach perform at a high level, it's easier to say that the Texans are just sort of, you know, cycling through coaches that no one else really wants to hire in terms of that head job.
Bill, I've been the leader of the band and embraced the suck for a two-year process of the Texans getting the best draft picks possible to advance this rebuild. A lot of people fight that tooth and nail and believe that now suddenly because Davis Mills is getting this opportunity and because of the draft that they've had, that there's the potential this team could win six-plus games. Do you see any scenario when they get that they could possibly get close to that? And then on the flip side, is there any scenario, no matter how Mills plays, that they don't look at a quarterback next year in the draft?
You know, it's a good question. I think it's plausible. You know, you never want to rule anything out. I think we're usually too confident about how good or bad teams are going to be before the year. And hey, I mean, you know, I don't know that signing all these veterans to short-term deals is the best move for the future of the franchise, but it does raise the talent level in the short term. And I think that's promising. I think they're very solid in the secondary, especially if Derek Stingley does emerge quickly as a NFL caliber cornerback. There's, of course, a decent offensive line. No matter, a great offensive line, but a decent offensive line. Brandon Cooks is an NFL caliber receiver. Nico Collins looked like he could be a breakout guy in his second year. And, of course, you mentioned Davis Mills. And Davis Mills last year, end of the season, competition was not the stiffest. He played good football. And if you can do that, you can be that guy over the course of the entire season in a relatively weak division. Yeah, I think it's not out of the question that they could go after. Get 7-8 wins and be a, if not a playoff team, at least a playoff competitor in the AFC. But again, I think, you know, if Davis Mills plays well, I think it would be a real feather in the cap of this regime to say, hey, look, we found a quarterback in the third round. So to me, I think the organization does want Davis Mills to succeed. Will that happen? I think we have to see, but I think it's fair to give him this opportunity to see what he can do with, you know, again, not the best people around him, but at least a legit number one receiver and an okay offensive line to work with in Houston.
Bill Barnwell of ESPN joining us on the HRMP guest line. It's a tricky spot that the Texans are in because you can have a great return on investment for a third-round rookie in Davis Mills, and I think he's already shown you that, quite honestly. He's turned himself into a starting-caliber player in 2022 and does deserve the 17 games for the Houston Texans this year, but then still not be good enough, right? Like, what is the upside potential of Davis Mills? What is the holy you-know-what Davis Mills turned into this? Because he could be a hit for a third-rounder and still not good enough to where you want him as your franchise quarterback.
Absolutely. I mean, if Davis Mills turns out to be a backup quarterback, that's still good value in the third round. Those guys get $5, $6 million a year on the open market. Getting that guy for $1 million a year or so is still good value. That's one of the better picks you'll make in a typical draft. Now, of course, Texas fans, the organization, everyone wants Davis Mills to be better than that, and I think he has that in him. I think the question for me is, when you look at typical guys in the middle rounds of the draft, there's something off. You know, there has to be some story you can tell yourself to justify that guy not being a top 10 pick. Because if you have a great arm and you had, you know, went to a good school, you had a, you know, a good college career, and you still got drafted in the third round, it's fine because you're not that good. With Davis Mills, I think the sort of story you tell yourself is, well, he did not have significant college experience. Part of that was COVID, part of it was stuff here and there. But a guy who came in as a top prospect coming into college, not get a ton of reps in college, and then now getting a chance to play at the pro level, learning at the pro level, maybe he is a first-round pick who just happened to fall to the third round because of that weird COVID college football season. I think, I don't know that I would believe that necessarily, but I think that's the story, the most plausible story you can tell yourself if Davis Mills does turn out to be a superstar. Now, granted, I thought Josh Allen was not going to be a superstar, and he's proven that wrong. So after Josh Allen's development, I never want to say anything is impossible. You always want to say that something is possible for these guys. Because I've seen Josh Allen emerge from being a talented quarterback who made major missteps to being an absolute superstar. So that's probably the best-case development story for any quarterback right now.
Bill, I got to ask you as well, because we mentioned Deshaun Watson, because he still is relevant in this town because of the trade and what it means to the Houston Texans. Where do you see this whole thing with Deshaun Watson, the suspension? When do you see it coming? And what do you think the Browns are going to do both with and without him as it relates to the Texans' obvious draft capital next season?
Yeah, it's funny to see how it's flipped. I mean, for so many years, the Browns were the team waiting to see what happened with the Texans' draft. Now it's vice versa. You know, I have to admit, guys, I don't really want to speculate too much about the verdict or what's going to happen in terms of the suspension. I just, you know, it's moved so many times. There's no real precedent for it. The NFL has been, you know, so sort of back and forth about it. There's been so many different rumors. I don't know that I really have a lot to add in terms of what it's likely to be. I think we'll just have to kind of wait and see what happens. But I will tell you, in terms of what they do next, of course, they did sign Jacoby Brissett, who is a solid NFL quarterback. And I think I pitched this before. The guy who comes to mind for me is Jimmy Garoppolo, where there's not a big market for Jimmy Garoppolo right now in terms of teams who have the cap space and the roster to put him on. There's not many starting jobs available. Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy who played in a very similar scheme in San Francisco to what they run in Cleveland. And a guy who has so much to prove on a one-year deal, basically, for the final year of his contract. A guy who can be, who has everything to gain from playing one season in Cleveland at a high level and then hitting free agency. So whether it's an 8-game suspension, 12, 16, 17, you know, if it's that kind of significant suspension, which I think most people think it will be, I do think that Jimmy Garoppolo would make a ton of sense there via trade from the San Francisco 49ers.
Bill, as always, we really appreciate the time. Great stuff, as always. And enjoy trading camp season, and we hope to chat soon.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, guys.
Bill Barnwell covers the NFL for ESPN. He mentioned 7-8 wins for the Houston Texans. Likelihood of that, and could Lovie really be fired after 1 year? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.